Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Top of the morning to you.
Good morning, Andy.
How are you guys doing?
We are doing so great. This is Wellness Wednesday, and welcome to Elder Care Radio, Southern Utah's first and only elder care radio program, where we talk about things that matter to our elderly community and medical stuff, and so it's kind of exciting.
And we provide all the resources for your better quality of life to help you navigate the healthcare system and find those things that will improve your life.
That's right. And so yesterday was kind of a rainy day, and it was something to look forward to. Growing up in Oregon, that was, you know, that was the everyday.
Well, you're a duck. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So this is, you know, it's kind of incredible living here in Southern Utah and enjoying all this weather.
Yeah.
But, you know, COVID's been kind of a harsh thing and kind of rained on everybody's parade for the past year. However, things are starting to open up, and we've been excited about this because we've always wanted to get out in the community and participate in some one-on-one conversations and meet people. And instead of just telling people stuff, actually being able to answer questions and
really educate the community on the resources that are available that most people just don't know about yet. There's so many federal, state resources that can help in your times of crisis. So you just need to know where they are. Give our office a call, and we'd love to help you find them.
Yep, on all those resources in all parts. But on the getting out in the community, our local Catholic Church is asked us to present at a meeting they're going to host. And the tentative is the 20th of May. Right. And we're going to be talking about all the things that we believe make for great hospice and palliative care. You know, what's different, but also those resources that are available in the community. We want to make sure that we get that out. And so they are inviting everybody in the community to come.
Right. Mark your calendars. May 20th, we'll be announcing the time, but we will be providing a luncheon as well. So come on out and meet us and meet at least one of our medical doctors I know will be there. The other one is trying to rearrange his schedule so that he can be there as well. So come out and meet us and learn more about the resources available. You might be surprised at what you didn't know.
Free food.
You did. And free food.
Free is good. And I should warn you guys now, one of the things that happens in radio is people hear your voice. People have probably been listening to your show for a year. They're going to show up to the event, and they're going to go, you don't look like you sound.
I know.
That's going to happen. I get it all the time. I thought you looked different than that. It just happens.
It does, I'm
sure. I usually ask them, am I uglier than you thought? They're like, no, it's not that.
Oh, I need to lose 35 pounds.
By May 20th.
Maybe I need to postpone that to July.
23 days, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to tell the story. And my wife's very first radio experience where she was on the radio.
Really?
She actually created a limerick about that exact thing.
Be careful.
Oh, no.
It's not about Nantucket, is it? Because that's
no.
We can't say that on the
no.
radio.
It was some kind of a competition.
Oh, my gosh. That makes me sound so mean. I was really young. Why would you say that? So there was a DJ host that had, like, the sexiest voice. Now, this was, you know, 35 years ago, but he had the sexiest voice, and he was all the rage, and all the college students and high school students listened to him all the time. And we just, you know, it was kind of this movement of, oh, what does he look like? Now, social media was not available then, so you couldn't just pull his name up and find all of his pictures, right? So I happened to meet him, and I was really surprised. He did not look like I expected him to. And let's just say his voice was very sexy.
We're not going to get the limerick then.
The proverbial nice. You know, face for radio kind of thing.
I get told that all the time. What does that mean exactly, Richard?
Yeah, well, I'm getting that now, and I'm not sure. So anyway, we won't spend a lot of time on that. But that was my wife's very first time on the radio, sharing a limerick that was kind of.
I won a basket and some lunch. Yeah. It was a great, you know, people liked my limerick, but.
Oh, they kept playing it over and over again, and that guy actually left the the market.
I do not think it was because of my limerick.
I don't know, but he left the market.
It had to have already been in the works. Don't blame me for that. It was a joke, and it was
you killed his career.
No,
he went into farming after that.
Oh my gosh, no, it was funny, and that's why they replayed it, because all of his other DJs just thought it was funny. It was cute. It wasn't mean or heinous. But
all right, so let's get back on topic. We could.
So, you just made me sound so bad.
I know. Well, Andy brought it up, and I.
It's my fault.
Like a dog with a bone, I couldn't help it. It was just.
Will you write a limerick for me somewhere?
Oh yeah. Okay.
I don't know that I can. You know, limericks are intended to be a little demeaning, and you're perfect.
Boo! No. I need to lose those 23 pounds too. So.
So, you know, we've really enjoyed, you know, getting involved in the community here. And the reason we started Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care was because when we had a hospice experience here in Southern Utah, we weren't given any choices. We weren't involved in any of that. And so one of the things that we've had this opportunity to be involved in is with a group of practitioners here that are working on alternative and complementary therapies, or let me restate that, complementary alternative therapies, and that acronym is CAT, C-A-T, or complementary alternative medicine, C-A-M. And so we've had this opportunity to be involved in that over the last couple of years, where we get together every month and we talk about some of the things that are being developed and tested and shown to work and all of the studies. And while that may not sound interesting to some of you, it is exciting for me to get involved in that. And I've really, you know, enjoyed that. And it's interesting that most of us have, we respond differently to different stimulus, different therapies. And so we can't expect the exact same output from the input that we get. And so the whole idea of medicine from the beginning was to solve problems that haven't been solved yet, right? But at sometimes we just get to this point where we've solved enough problems, we're just going to stick with what we've got. And oftentimes in medicine today, that's what it is. It's called protocol, where, you know, if you have this, if you present with this condition, then this is the steps that we're going to go through, whether that works or not for you.
But protocol is kind of a bad word, right? I mean,
well, protocol is, it can be a bad word. Yeah. Not that every protocol is bad.
Right.
But when we ignore other things and just say, no, these are just the steps and we don't have any choices.
Right. A standard protocol. I would say a standard protocol is bad because we are all dynamic individuals. We all respond differently to different medications. You know, the exact same prescription will have a different reaction on Andy than it will on Kaylee. It's important to not have just standard protocols. And we have found in this industry there are a lot of standard protocols. So you must be your own best medical advocate, and you must speak up and say, I get that this is, you know, the standard, but it's not working for me. And you have to be willing to you know, to try different things and be willing to speak out, be your own best advocate, and change what doesn't work for you. You know, one of the things Richard was just saying is there's, you know, probably, 35, 40 different therapies that are available. And as we sit in these mastermind medical seminars, sometimes I sit there and I think, wow, you know, somebody will be promoting their therapy, and I'll think, oh, I have 10 patients that would probably benefit from that therapy. And then the next week, somebody else will promote, and I'll say, oh, those same 10 patients might benefit from that therapy. And the truth is, two of them will benefit from one, five of them might benefit from the next one, and there's a totally different therapy for the other
that we haven't even covered
six.
Yet.
Right. So you have to just try different therapies to find what works for you. And that's the same in medicine as well as alternative therapy.
Right. And that applies to everything in our life. We look at just pain, right? And we've got some traditional processes that we go through for pain, and those aren't necessarily bad until they don't really perform well. You know, when medication isn't really solving the pain issue, but it's bringing a lot of other problems, then maybe an opioid isn't really the solution, you know, if it's a long-term issue. And as we've been involved in this and seen other options available, it's amazing. You know, a lot of pain is created by inflammation. And so if you focus on the inflammation instead of the pain, maybe we can eliminate that.
Do we all realize that opioids, long-term use of opioids, even when you vary which opioids you use, cause phantom pain? So you might be taking something for your knees, for your, you know, knee pain, and then all of a sudden the pain just never seems to change. That should be an indication to you that you should be trying a different therapy. Opioids are not intended for long-term use. If you're using them long-term, your brain may be creating phantom pain. And
just
you
as
might
a,
need to
yeah.
try some different therapies to get off of the opioid use, but still manage your pain.
So we get excited when we see these options that are available, because drugs are important and can be useful sometimes, but if there are other options that are available. And so on the opioid side, obviously there are those that have been used for a long time, and that works for a period of time, and in some people, and some it doesn't. And it has a different negative effect for many people than others. You know, some people actually are genetically predisposed to being addicted to opioids, and it's testable now. And so if it is, maybe we should really be looking at other options. And if the option is massage, and we've mentioned that in the past, that's a great way to deal with pain on occasion. If it's physical therapy, just getting our bodies moving again, because that can help. If it's yoga or manage that inflammation or even diet, there are things that people eat that may affect them. It may not affect everybody in their family or in the world, but it can affect them. And so if we assess that, certainly there's a difference between masking the symptom and addressing the symptom. And so if we can come up with a way to address the symptom instead of just masking it through painkillers, that's a great idea. Now, in addition to that, masking is also important sometimes. My experience, and this was about 8 years ago, I ended up with shoulder pain that was just excruciating, and I could only sleep one way, and every day it was killing me. And so I actually used a TENS device. And if you're not familiar with that is, that's a transdermal, no, let's see. Well, I'm not even going to try. It's electroshock therapy. If you've ever grabbed an electric fence, that is what it is. And while it was terribly uncomfortable, it did help deal with the pain mm-hmm. for a period of time. Now, I used that for about a year and a half. And at some point, I just realized, oh, that pain's gone now, and I don't have to use it. There were some downsides to it. For a long time, I had some muscle twitches and cramps for about a year and a half after that. But it solved the problem for me, and I wasn't drugged up, and I was able to perform throughout my day. So that's great. But we're getting kind of off topic.
I tried the TENS device, and I don't like electrical stimulation. It does not work for me, but it does work for a lot of people.
And by working, that doesn't mean you've eliminated it. You've just made it workable. You know, you've gotten past it, and maybe that's the best that we can do. So you should be always open to this. But some of the things we've learned in this this program that we've been involved in for the past couple of years. Dentistry, I think we all have a good idea of what that is. You know, other than a couple of tooth cleanings a year, you're looking at, surgery, right? You go in and you get a cavity removed, or then it goes to, well, we got to remove that filling in order to place it with another filling because we have some decay again, or now we have to put a cap on it and it's decayed enough that you have to do a root canal. But a dentist, you know, it's just
and
kind of those
post
two things.
And an implant. Yeah. That's the progression, right?
Right. But those are the things that we expect from dentistry. But interestingly, we've had a dentist in this program that has been exploring a totally different part of this, and it's exciting to hear about it.
Yeah.
He's looking at the flora and fauna in your mouth and saying, okay, so there's good bacteria and bad bacteria, and the bad bacteria leads to tooth decay, and so how do we manage that? And everybody's mouth is different. So if we can change our diet, if we can use supplements that actually populate our mouth with good bacteria, then you'll change that balance. And as we reduce the bad bacteria, we get all kinds of benefit.
And sometimes we don't recognize that the infection in our mouth is causing the tremendous stomach pain or muscle pains throughout our body, because the infection is running through our bloodstream. So if we can clear up the infection in our gums, then we actually eliminate the pain in some of our muscles or stomach at times. And I think that that makes sense to people. It's just not the first place we look. Mm-hmm. So dental therapy, I found really fascinating. As I was listening to his message, I thought, oh my gosh, that makes perfect sense. And I never really thought about it. Okay, I have this unbearable stomach pain or acid reflux. Never occurred to me that that might have been caused from my teeth.
Yeah, the mouth is the gateway to the gut, and the gut is kind of the core of our entire system. And so those are, you know, some really great examples. And, you know, when we're looking at these kind of things and realizing, okay, so if we can have that kind of impact on our mouth and we don't have to have the dental drill as often and things like that, those are exciting. And that was a few weeks ago that we talked about that. This last week, we had a practitioner talk about the use of ketamine.
Ketamine therapy
and how it's been effective in so many unrelated things. It was originally just an anesthetic.
Illegal use of ketamine. Right. A controlled therapy. Very different experience.
Yeah. So ketamine's been around a long time as an anesthesia, but they found that it actually has an impact on the brain, and there are ways that we can use it to help reprogram, and it works for those people who have tried things for depression and anxiety, and it hasn't ever worked.
Traumatic experiences of the past.
Yeah.
They can, you know, you're in such a relaxed state that even your therapist is allowed to be there with you and walk you through some of the trauma that you may have experienced so that you can come out of the therapy and let go of it, leave it behind you.
Well, and that was a good point that they really focused on, was it's not about taking the drug and then getting past the event the drug created. It's working your way through it while that drug is in place. And so they specifically have you with somebody the entire time so that you have this opportunity in this anesthetized state to work through some of this stuff. They're talking to you, holding your hand, and working with you to solve the problems that the reason you went. I mean, if you have debilitating depression, you've tried all the traditional therapies. You've tried just talking to people, and you've tried some antidepressant drugs, and those haven't really solved the problem. Then trying this alternative may do the good job.
Well, and a moment ago, we said that the more you use opioids, the more dependent you become on them, and the phantom pains that we have. But it's the same with depression. When you are on antidepressive medication for an extended period of time, they are constantly chasing the right medication to help you because, again, we adapt and we begin to accept the medication and it no longer benefits us. So ketamine therapy, now I haven't experienced it and I don't have this issue to experience it, but one of the things that they posed was in that state, they can take you back and help you with drug addictions, whether they are opioid addictions or addictions for the antidepressants. Because the truth is, antidepressants are also only supposed to be used for a short time to help you get through the basis for your depressive state. You know, what is causing the depression?
And we're a little short on time, so we're not going to be able to cover all the things we wanted to talk about, and we're not trying to suggest that there's just one therapy that's new that everybody should try, because it's not that. There are dozens or even hundreds of potential therapies, you know, all kinds of herbal remedies and things like that. But that there may be options, and take control of your own medical destiny. Your doctor has a great understanding of what he understands, but as the studies have come out and new things have been promoted, each physician may not be quite as aware of those things or have them integrated into their own practice as well. So we're not suggesting that you have to abandon your physician to experience any of this. It's additive.
Complementary. That's what CAM stands for, or CAT stands for. It's the complementary to your traditional services. And I really think it's the way of the future. I cannot believe how many people reach out to us to explain their situation and say, do you have therapies for this? Do you have direction or guidance or resources for this? And we're fortunate enough to be able to help these people in most cases, or give them the direction to explore for themselves. Because again, everybody will respond different to each therapy. But right, we're not saying abandon Western medicine.
No, not at all. These are all complementary. They add to that. And I think one of the important things that, you know, sometimes we lose track of is the idea of healing. You know, that seems kind of counterproductive in medicine. But the healing process, yes, we can address the issue. But then our bodies need some healing and our minds may need some healing. And so being able to integrate that also and taking on some of these therapies that can really do that. For instance, hyperbaric chambers, which is, you know, oxygen-rich environment under pressure. The theory is that it allows your body to absorb a super concentrated amount of oxygen, and oxygen is important to the body. But if we don't know about it and we don't try it, now it's not for everybody. And Andy, you probably had some experience with that.
I have, yeah.
Okay.
A little bit. Good for wound healing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mostly, yeah.
It's good for some things. And in different people, it's good for different things. It's not a solution for everybody, but it's there.
And do you know why it's good for wound healing? Because it heals the cells, which is why they use it for the bends, right?
Yeah.
So if it heals the cells, then it's not just wound healing, but it's cell therapy.
Right. And so there's that. There's electrostimulation that can be used to invigorate the muscles and cells to act more aggressively. We've got a gentleman who's done the sensory deprivation chambers. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with that, where you're floating in a high concentration of salt water with the lights off and no sound, and you don't hear anything, you don't feel anything, and it allows you to either rest really well or you get into that introspection part. And that, for me, I'm a little concerned with. I haven't tried that. I don't think I want to know what's in there.
As you mentioned concern, I think it's important to understand that this is a medical mastermind group. So, you know, 95% of these therapists are either medical doctors themselves, or they are, you know, anesthesiologists or licensed and certified therapists. So we're not talking about, you know, really fringe that is not controlled. These are all licensed and approved therapies that have found scientific evidence that they help.
Right. And there's studies to back it up. And that's the interesting thing is as this new information comes on the market and or into the community and we understand more about what can be done, it is great to know that there are things that are available. And so going back to the float tanks, that, you know, that's something that a lot of people have found great comfort in, and it may be well worth it. And I was just joking about, I'm afraid of, you know, introspection and finding out what might be in my own psyche.
I think you should try that.
I think I'd rather have somebody else look first.
You might learn something you don't want to know.
That's kind of my position. Yeah, I'm not unhappy with the way things are right now. So finding things to worry about isn't my idea of a good time.
Ignorance is bliss. Is it?
For me, sometimes. Right now, it is. And of course, you know, folly be the wise in that case. But so we really just want to present this, and we're not going to cover it all today. So we would encourage you to call us, Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We'll talk about some of the things that we've learned. We'll share with you all this information. There's no cost. We just want to get the community to know that there are choices. And that's really the focus of why we started this business, why we started this radio broadcast, was because we wanted the community to be well-informed and not be dependent on finding out from somebody else who may not have all the information that they could. Information is a great thing, and you should have it. And so we'd like to share that with you.
And share our radio program with your friends and neighbors who might be looking for resources to find some peace or pain-free management. Again, Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. It's pathwayhospicecare.com. And our telephone number is 435-477-6999.
And if you know somebody who doesn't have a radio but has the internet, they can stream this broadcast live on KDX, what is it?
890KDXU.com.
Okay, 890KDXU.com. Just go on. You'll see the streaming part of that. And you can listen to this broadcast over the internet. If you want to access past broadcasts, you can do that on our website, pathwayhospicecare.com.
Don't forget, mark your calendars. May 20th, the Catholic Church will be hosting us. Come out and meet us.
Yes, let us know if you're coming. We'd love to prepare for it.
Thank you.